Growing up, my parents split whenever I was really young, and so my dad wasn't really in the picture at all, didn't see him much, and you know, obviously had some woundedness and some bitterness from that whole ordeal. And then whenever I was 10 years old, I had found out that I was gonna have a half-brother, so my dad and his new wife were having a baby, and so there's a lot of excitement that, you know, is going along with that. But unfortunately, through that entire situation, we lost my brother. He actually never made it home from the hospital after he was born. And at that moment, just at 10 years old, I can remember getting filled with so much anger, just anger and hatred, resentment towards God, towards my dad, just an angry kid growing into an angry teenager. But fortunately, despite that, I had a mom that loved Jesus and was a praying mama. And she had a group of praying friends. And one of those people being a lady named Miss B. And Miss B, through just years of knowing my mom and coming to love our family, and she would just pray, intercede, asking God to do something there in me. And when I was in high school, Miss B became convinced that I was supposed to go on this trip that the church was doing to Hollywood, California. And so I ended up going. I didn't really know what I was getting into, but I went. And I remember that first night, they had taken us out on Hollywood Boulevard. So we're just walking around and it was wild, just a whole nother world. I noticed that there's this big group of people that I was with on the trip, all kind of standing in this big kind of group and circled around somebody. And so I walk over and they're all circled around this old homeless guy on the street. And I walk up and try to figure out what's going on. And this guy is like street preaching right here on the street, but not like hell, fire, and brimstone. But this guy is just, he's talking about Jesus. He's quoting all these Bible verses, you know, and not knowing what was going on, why, just listening to this guy, but it was just God's hand on me at that moment. And I don't know how long I ended up being there, but it was getting late and that crowd had kind of dwindled down. And one of the volunteers came over to where we were at to let us know, hey, we got to get back to where we're staying. As we're leaving, everybody's kind of going around saying goodbye to this guy and he's shaking everybody's hands, getting their names. And when he comes to me, this guy grabs my hand and pulls me in and reads my mail. Like, I don't have words to express what happened at that moment, but this guy was telling me things about growing up and my past and specific situations. He was telling me things about that were going on currently. And then he started talking about these things that God wanted to do in and through my life and how much God had loved me and had sought after me. And it was like in that moment, the lights just got turned on and something shifted inside of me. And I began to experience and kind of understand more this love that God had for me. But it was wild because it wasn't even just for me, it was this love that God had for other people as well through that. And one of those people being my own dad. And so at that time, immediately, I just began praying for him. Praying, asking God to help me forgive, to let go of just this resentment and stuff that I had held on to, and praying that he would experience what I had experienced. Finally, I mean, it felt like forever, the light switch got flipped for him as well. And I got the privilege and honor to baptize my own dad and see God working and changing him and transforming him to be more like Jesus. And it's just incredible now that I get to look and step back and watch him love on my own boys and be a grandpa and be engaged there and the work that God has done and just blown away by the way that he chooses to work through the prayers of his people, and that we have his ear, that we have the privilege of communicating with him through prayer, and that he hears those prayers and honors them.
Come on, church, is that not good? That story represents why we do what we do. It represents why we exist as a church. We don't exist as just a club to come together and feel good. We exist to help people find their way back to God. And that story can be told hundreds, if not thousands of times over through the people of Beltway Park Church. See, we are confident That a life of next steps with Jesus Christ is what leads to abundance. But every journey of next steps with Jesus has to begin with the first step back to Jesus. And the reality is it happens because of people. Of people like Miss B. I mean, think about your story for a second. Who was the Miss B in your life? Everyone has one. As unique as we are, North Campus, people who are online right now, South Campus, people who are on demand, it matters not. I know we're unique individuals with unique stories, but all of us who have made our way back to God through Jesus Christ, we have a Miss B in our life. There is someone that God used in some form or fashion to help us find our way back to God. It doesn't matter who we are. See, there's a constant truth in this journey back to God. God uses his children to help people find their way back to God. Everyone has a Miss B. We usually have more than one. My journey back to the Father doesn't start with Miss B, but Miss K. Some of us are old enough to remember, man, I'm going to date myself here. The 1970s. I know. They were another really chaotic time in our nation's history, if you can think back. People were polarized, just like they are now, amazingly around politics. The names were different. There were names like Ford and Nixon and others, but it was still amazingly enough how we cycle around to the same old stuff. Unemployment was up. The economy was struggling. Some of you young people have bought a house in the last 5 years, and you have interest rates that are somewhere between, right now, man, 2.5% up to 4% or something like that. In the 70s, you know what home mortgage interest rates were? They were in the teens, sometimes up to 20% to be able to buy a home. It was the highest inflation ever in our nation's history. There was a shortage of gas for vehicles. I can remember Mama loading us kids up because she had heard word through the phone system. Old school, no cordless anything. We had corded phones. People were calling around, and they were saying, there's gas at the service station. And we would go get in line to get a measure of gas. You couldn't get a full tank. They would just ration it out as much as they could, and we had to like really think about the trips we took and such, because there was no getting good gas mileage back in that day. It was like, how many gallons to the mile did you get in those old vehicles and such? Because of this economic reality, my dad had his hours cut at work. My mom, who had never been in the workforce during our time as a family, had to go find a job, and she found a part-time job at Ma Bell Telephone, well before the government got in there and broke Ma Bell up into several entities. Miss K worked at Bell Telephone, worked there long before my mom, worked there long after her. And she went to work not just to do a good job, but to bless those with whom she worked. She got to know my mother, and behind the scenes, she began to pray. And she was the lady who literally invited my family to church for the first time. My mom said no. My mom did not go to church for 4 years. My dad didn't go to that church for a decade, 10 years. But Miss K says she and her husband did a bus, and they'd be willing to pick us kids up on Sunday morning and take them off my parents' hands for a season. My mom said yes to that like nobody's business, and I started going to church, and the destiny of my family changed. Curses were broken off of my family. All because Miss K went to work not just to get a paycheck, but to use the blessings that she received to bless others. See, I now have hope. My hope isn't just for today. My hope is for all of eternity. I have access to a peace that transcends understanding. I will confess, I don't always walk in that peace, but it is there. There is a strength for no matter the circumstance we face. The Apostle Paul said that he had learned the secret of contentment, of peace, of strength in any and every situation. He knew what it was like to have plenty. He knew what it was like to be in need. And he declared, I can do all things. Somebody say all things. I can live in all circumstances through Christ who strengthens me. I have that. My parents are knocking on 80 years of age. And their bodies remind us they're not going to live in this life forever. And my dad talked to me recently about end-of-life things. And he just looked at me. He didn't ask. He just said, you're going to preach my funeral, right? And I said, yes, sir, with tears in my eyes. I get to preach with grief that has hope all in it because I know where my parents are going to be. Because a lady went to work not to get a paycheck, but she went there to bless, to help people find their way back to God through Jesus Christ. See, because of Miss K, I am blessed. And I know every one of us as Jesus followers are thinking of the Miss B or the Miss K in our lives, and we feel the same way. But if you think about it, that's not the way we normally use the word blessed in our culture, is it? We don't think about it in terms of finding our way back to God. We have other ways, like in the South, we have a phrase, bless your heart. And that is a phrase that means I'm about to say something very derogatory about somebody, but I want to feel like I'm being nice about them when I do it, so I'm going to say bless your heart. Like, bless her heart. I'm not saying she's stupid. She just doesn't have much luck at thinking. You know what I'm saying? Or bless his heart. He's just a couple of bricks shy of a full load. Bless. Or we use bless to talk about the prayer before a meal, as if in someone says, who wants to say the blessing before we eat today? See, I actually got on social media. I did the radical thing. And I found this hashtag, #blessed. And I want to know what people posted. And I found two primary things. Now, it was not an exhaustive survey at all. Like, it didn't last long. But I saw two very consistent themes. One, it was usually used in regards to a relationship somebody had. And normally the picture they posted of the person was attractive. That person was attractive by societal standards of today. So based on that criteria, you can go to my wife's social media and you will never see a picture of me with the #blessed underneath it. I'm okay with it. I get it. My whole life, I have been likened unto three people who have some level of celebrity status. Consistently, since I was a teenager, I've been told I've looked like three people. One, believe it or not, Mick Jagger. I know, there we go. We start real high on the attractive scale. Number two, Michael Keaton. See right there? Third, Billy Crystal. I know, I'm right there. I get what I'm saying. 2008, an article comes out in Texas Monthly about Beltway Park Church. Don't be impressed. Like, the writer had an article to turn in. His daughter went to one of the local colleges, and so he decided to come to Beltway Park to write an article. And he describes the service and all that, and he says, then the pastor comes out. And I quote to you, he said, the pastor was not so much handsome as he was engaging. You can find it online. You know what that means? It's like how you describe a blind date. He not much to look at, but he's got a great personality. I'm okay with it. I have been living off the grace of God and the favor of God for the entirety of my life till I came to know him. So I have no problem with being with my wife someplace. People looking at us kind of quizzically and wondering, how did he get her? And all the men who are in the same boat as I am said, man, you should have said amen right there, guys. If you didn't, you are in trouble. The other way #blessed is used on social media is about a material thing. It's a car. It's a boat. It's a vacation. It's a house. Now don't mishear me. I am not saying that we shouldn't say a prayer before a meal. I'm not saying that having a material thing cannot be a blessing in any form or fashion or such. I'm not saying a relationship isn't a blessing. But the reason I point this out is that when we see scripture, if we're not careful, when it uses the word blessed, and it uses it a lot, we can interpret it in light of a meal or a relationship or a material thing in life, and we can misunderstand what scripture says. Galatians 3 says, understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. Remember that phrase. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be what? Blessed. So we have the word. How are they going to be blessed? All nations will be blessed through you. So when we come into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, by committing to follow Jesus, we are, in essence, a child of Abraham. We don't become a biological child. We're not Jewish in any form or fashion. I know that sounds strange, but there's people who actually teach that weird thing. But Abraham is considered the father of all who have faith in his biological son of lineage, a guy by the name of Jesus. So we who walk in faith are children of Abraham. Now look carefully how he describes blessing. So those who have faith are what? They're what? So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Really see this. The scripture, when it talks about bless, it means this. But if we're not careful, we can limit blessed to when my body is healthy, or when my bank account is full, or my relationships are great. And I'll admit, those things are a blessing, but they are a lesser blessing. But come on, what about when my body is sick? Can I be blessed then? What about when I'm having some economic struggle and maybe have nothing to do with myself, like now? Can I be blessed in that season? What about when my relationships aren't doing great despite myself? Can I be blessed in those situations? The author Mark Batterson, talking about blessing, says it so well. So is God, when he promises blessing, promising health, wealth, and prosperity? And the answer to that is no. God promises us something so much better than physical health or material wealth. Plus, some of God's greatest blessings are blessings in disguise. The blessing of God is not an immunity card against pain and suffering, which is what you would think when you see the term hashtag blessed on social media. So what is the blessing of God? I mean, when you boil it all down, when God says he wants to bless us, and he does, what is it? You ready? The blessing of God is God himself. It is God in us. It is God with us. It is God for us. See, when God blesses, he wants you and I to have the very best. Jesus said, there's a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What does the thief ultimately do? He tries to take us away from God. But God has come. He sent his son Jesus that we may have life and have it abundantly. Both campuses, online. Who wants abundant life? Hand up. Put up, we all do. Hear me. Abundant life only happens when we, by grace, find our way back to God and he restores our relationship with him through Jesus Christ. When we are in a relationship with God by faith, we, like Abraham, are what? We are blessed. We are children of Abraham. And we have a family legacy to live out. See, when God made the promise to Abraham that he would bless the nations, which ultimately came through his lineage in Jesus. It was before they ever had a child. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Therein is our purpose. Blessed to be a blessing. See, like Abraham, we are blessed to bless. What would happen, church, in our community? What would happen in our greater world if all followers of Jesus just lived every day with a simple goal? What if we sought to bless in some form or fashion? Is that what not Jesus did when he came? When Jesus began his ministry, he had his first public message that we have recorded in scripture. And the first word out of his mouth, his first public message to a mass of people was what? Blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. 9 times he says, blessed, blessed, blessed. He's shouting to us the heart of the Father. I want you blessed. When children were brought to Jesus. And the disciples said, no. The master is way too important for children. Jesus rebuked the disciples and said, don't hinder the children to come to me. For such as these belong the kingdom of God. And he laid his hands on them. And he what? He blessed the children. He's saying, I want you blessed. And Jesus himself defined what he meant by blessing when he said, the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. Jesus came to bless. He came to help people find their way back to the Father. What if, church, every day we join Jesus by seeking to bless those who are in our world? See, I know there are people all around us at our workplace, in our neighborhood, at our gym, wherever it might be. And we really, really hope that they find their way back to God. What if we went from hoping they find their way back to God to helping them find their way back to God? That is what Jesus did. You see, every day we are given the opportunity to be a Miss B, to be a Miss K. Every person who lives in this city, every person who lives in this county, every person in our sphere of influence can have a relationship with the one who loves them in a way that words cannot describe. And we are given the privilege, the blessing, if I may, of maybe being part of their story of finding their way back to God. Now, I know even as I say this, I feel the struggle. I feel the tension, because when we hear the talk of helping people find their way back to God, we immediately hear the idea of pushing. We hear the idea of pressuring or even persuading. But when I read what Jesus did, I don't see Jesus pushing or persuading or perishing. What I see Jesus do is just seeking to bless. And I believe you can find five practices in Jesus, five practical things that he did to bless people that you and I can actually do in our own lives. Like everything Jesus did, Jesus would begin with prayer. He didn't talk about prayer. He didn't feel guilty about not praying. With the demands on his life, I mean, think about it. You heal a few people in a world with no medicine and with no hospitals. Doctors have such severe limitations. You heal the way Jesus healed. You think the word gets out? You think there's some demands on your time? Do you think Jesus could have booked his schedule pretty tight? I mean, Jesus had busy as part of his life. The scripture says, yet the news about him spread all the more. That's an understatement. So that crowds of people came to hear him and to what? To be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Jesus began with prayer. You'll find Jesus would listen. We don't do a lot of listening in our culture right now, do we? We do a lot of talking, not a lot of listening, not really. One of the greatest things you can do to bless somebody, to show love and honor, is to really listen. Like listen to their stories, listen to their thoughts, listen to their ideas. Well, what if I don't agree? You probably won't. So what? Your goal is not to agree right away. Your goal is to what? To bless. And what greater thing you can do to care for somebody than to really listen to the reality of who they are? I'm not saying we agree with everything. We just love enough really to hear. Jesus would do this radical thing that I think I have forgotten about. I think a lot of us have. Jesus would eat with people. We do it all the time, but the people Jesus ate with were not his circle all the time. The most common accusation against Jesus is that he would eat with tax collectors and sinners. He would eat with people who were unclean. That phrase, tax collector and sinner, you know what it meant in first century Israel? It's just people who had yet to find their way back to God. And Jesus found himself all the time eating with those people. Why would he do it? Well, he gave the analogy. He said, it's not the well that need a doctor, it's the sick. He says, I'm eating with them because I came to help them find their way back to God. And there's no better way to do that than to share a meal and a cup of whatever you're willing to put in your cup. I'm just saying, okay? Jesus would do that. Jesus would serve. He healed. He helped. Before he spoke about who he was and why he came, Jesus showed the reality of who he was and why he came. But make no mistake, somewhere along the way, Jesus would share his story. Jesus, when he had prayed and listened and served, after he had eaten with someone, he would share the story with them of why they came and how they could find their way back to God. Now, both campuses, online, I know that's the end of your notes. Keep your notes out. You're going to need them. Because I want you to do this radical thing. Because there's an amazing thing I discovered when I listed these out. When you look at the first letter of each of these, they amazingly spell what? Bless. I know you're shocked, aren't you? It's a miracle right here and such. Come on, Beltway Park, hear me. What if every day we sought to bless in one of these ways in some form or fashion. These are things each of us can do. What if in some form or way we sought to do this? What might happen in our city? What might happen in our region? And we will get the privilege. I mean, come on. What will it be like for somebody to share their story? And somehow our name is attached to their story. It all began with this weird coworker who showed up and prayed all the time. And she would pray, and I kind of knew it, but I thought she was strange. And then one day we started talking, and she really listened. It's like she cared. And she asked me for a cup of coffee, and we just went and talked. And then there was a need in my life, and we had a problem. She brought a meal over to me. Why would she bring a meal to me? And then somewhere in the course of having these conversations, we talked about something deeper, and she shared with me what Jesus had done in her life. And I thought it was just wild. And through that story, or maybe one of them, my life got blessed. What could happen? What better thing could we do with our life? This past Tuesday, I was given the privilege of baptizing the Reedy family. Their last official thing they did before they left Abilene, leaving the military on a new assignment. And they're going to tell us their story at some point down the road. We didn't get it in time to show it this today, but suffice it for now to say that the confession of faith that you saw of that entire family through baptism is due to the fact that people in this church sought to bless them. No pressuring. No persuading, no pushing. They just sought to bless them. Because that's what we get to do. That's what we do. We've been telling you stories during COVID. We're given all sorts of opportunities to bless. We get to do it in Abilene. We get to do it around the world. I mean, it goes all the way to Israel. Some of us think, well, Israel's the Holy Land. It's the place of faith. It's fine. Only 1% of the people of Israel have found their way back to God through Jesus Christ. 1%. That's it. In Israel, before COVID, it cost 40% more to live than it did on average in the United States of America. The average salary in Israel is 50% less than the average salary in the United States of America. Some of you are adding the numbers up. So you're saying it costs, yes, 90% more on average to live in Israel than it does in the United States. Then COVID came. Right now, Israel is sitting between 27 and 30% unemployment as a nation. They have people who can't eat. And we have partners throughout Israel. And guess what they're wanting to do? They're wanting to bless. It's hard to be a follower of Jesus in Israel. I'm just going to tell you that. And they're there, not because they couldn't live elsewhere, but because they want to bless. So we as a church, I love the heart behind our leadership. We've just been looking for ways to help our partners bless. And so we wrote a check to Beit Hillel Congregation in Ashdod, Israel. Some of you are thinking, Ashdod's in the Bible. Yeah, Philistine city, now it's not. It's actually close to where Goliath was from. We wrote a check to them, $25,000. We've done that several times over. And you know what they're doing with it? They're giving food to 1,000 families to help sustain them through this season. In addition to that, they're trying to start schools back in Israel just like we're trying to start schools back now. They have to buy their school supplies just like they do here, and they're struggling, and so they're buying school supplies for these little Israeli kids. What if that pack of school supplies is the beginning of a journey back to God? They're seeking to bless. And we get to be a part of that. We want to do it around the world, but we don't want to limit it to out there. We want to bless right here in the big country as well. We want to do it right here at home. And guess what? You know the way God will bless the people of the big country and the way he means to bless? Through us. That's the way it's going to happen. Hear me. You are where you are for a reason. God has placed you at your job. I know some of you are saying, I wish he'd placed me somewhere else. That's okay. Maybe he has you right there, not so much for the job as the people you work with, that you can look at an opportunity to bless. Do well for your employer. Work hard. We should be the best employees as followers of Jesus. But we can go there and be the very best employees, but also be those who seek to bless. What if we just said, all the coworkers that I know of that need to find their way back to Jesus, what if I just begin to pray with for them every day? That's where I start. And I just ask God for an opportunity. I'll listen. I like to eat. And maybe we can find a way to eat together. I bet he'll show you a way to serve. It doesn't have to be huge. And somewhere in that place, you'll have a chance to share your story with somebody. God uses people to help people find their way back to God. I'm just challenging each of us to start a new daily habit. Every day, how about we seek to bless someone? One of those five things. We can do it. To help us form a new habit, we've created some tools. So I'm gonna try something really radical here, okay? I'm gonna ask you to get your phone out. Go ahead. I know you'll never hear this. I'm gonna ask you, both campuses, if you're online, I think you can do it there as well. I'm gonna give you a new background screen for your phone. Some of you said, you're gonna take your grandkids off there for a little while. I send my granddaughter back to the files just for a little while. And there's a new background screen you're gonna get right here, and it's gonna be this idea of bless. It's on my phone right now. I'm asking you to do that. You begin with prayer, listen, eat, serve, and share your story. What you can do right now is bring your camera out and grab this off the screen. It will work. We have done it all over. If it doesn't work for you, just magnify it. See, all those little cameras you get to use right now, make it happen. If you can't do it, it is online at our website, beltway.org/bless, okay? Now, I've just run a communicator's risk of never getting your attention back after we do this. I understand that. It'll pull up, and then later, what I want you to do is just use it as your background screen. And I want you to keep it there for a month. If you say, dude, I don't even look at my phone often enough for that to work, on your way out, both campuses, we gone old school, we have a card that looks like this. You can grab a card. I have put it on my car, like right in front of me. Actually, I put it over the speedometer so that when one of our fine men in blue pull me over and decide we need to have a conversation, I can say, well, I didn't know how fast I was going. I'm seeking to bless. Now, I did not do that. I did not cover my speedometer. It's off to the side, but it is on my car dash. And I'm just going to tell you right now, straight up, there is some ways you do stuff like old school. Refrigerator magnets have been around forever. You're still doing them. You're putting your kids' pictures up and stuff like that. We have magnets on the way out as well. Grab a magnet, grab a card, and every time you see your phone, every time you see your card, your magnet, what do I want you to do? God, help me to bless. Help me to find a way to bless. If you're online, you want a card or a magnet, just direct message us, email us, call us. We'll put some in the mail for you. We will make it happen, I promise you, and such. Let's be a people who seek to bless. What if we became like Miss B? What if we became like Miss K? Seeking you to use how we have been blessed. See, if I'd ask you earlier, how many of you feel blessed that you have found your way back to God through Jesus, you would have gone, yeah, because it's church. But it's true. And what greater blessing could we give to someone else than to help them, not push them, not prod them, but help give possibility of them having the greatest blessing they could ever have in life. Hope for now and for the future. Peace that transcends understanding. Strength for each and every occasion. Joy that is without compare. The list goes on and on. What better could we do? And I'm going to ask us right now, all of us, online, North Campus, South, I want us to bow our heads right now. Let's just start where Jesus started. And man, I want you, the people that you thought of, who was your Miss B, your Miss K, I want you to say thank you for them right now. Thank you that they were willing to bless and not just keep things to themselves. And now I'm going to get radical. I'm going to ask you to ask God to show you 2 to 5 people in your regular world who need to find their way back to God. Maybe you've got your notes out still and you're going to write their names down. I want you to write them down. We're going to come back to it later. You remember them right now. You write them down. And you can begin this week by praying for them every day. Your prayer is simple. God, help them find their way back to you. And I'm here to help. Show me a way I can help. It's simple. What better thing could we do? When you see your magnet, you see your card, you see your phone, I want you to call their name out to God. That's what I've been doing. I started it on Thursday. I want us to keep doing it. What greater thing could we do? So, Father, we say thank you. I say thank you for Miss Kay. I thank you that she showed up at a workplace and she loved my mom where she was. Because of that, I have what I have. And I tell you, oh God, more than ever, I want to be a Miss K to people. But I also tell you, I have some fears and I have some concerns. I lay those before your feet, oh God. And I ask that you would use me in the world that I live in. My neighborhood, my gym. My community, and I ask for each one of us, impart to us a faith that we can have stories like this associated with our lives right here in Abilene, right now. More than ever, people need you. I ask for that grace, oh God. Give us great grace, I ask, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Now, at both campuses, before we go, I need to tell you about something that we have coming up. We are going to go on a spiritual growth journey starting in 3 weeks. Say 3 weeks. September 11th through 13th. It is called Five Stones. We're going to talk about conquering the giants of our lives. And I'm going to tell you, it is going to be an incredible journey. More than ever, what we have seen during COVID-19 is we've seen certain giants arise up. But in the name of Jesus, we can see them fall. And I'm going to ask everyone associated with Beltway Park to do 4 things for 6 weeks. That's it. 4 things for 6 weeks we can all do. One, I want you to attend every service. It's easy to attend a service. You have physical services. We have room. We will make more room when we need to make more room. When we need to accomplish that, we also have our virtual service. Our online services are on demand. I want you to make every one of them for 6 weeks. I'm going to ask everybody to join a group. To be part of some group, some form, some fashion, somehow. Everyone a part of a group for a 6-week period. How long? 6 weeks, that's it. We can all do that. What I need from you is one, I need some people who will host some of these groups. It's about to come up right here. I think there it is. I need you to host. I need, believe it or not, we need somewhere between 600 and 700 of these groups to accomplish what we need to do. You say, David, we don't have everybody. I'm telling you, we're going to have virtual groups. We're going to have groups that have virtual and in-person. We're going to have in-person groups. It doesn't matter. We're going to have community. How many of you know we need community in this day and age? We need people in our lives. We are going to accomplish that in some form or fashion. If you are willing to do that, gather just 2 or more friends. Half of them people in some form or fashion, you let us know about that. There's an insert in your park news. Let us know. We'll talk to you about it. I promise you, we will train you on how to accomplish on that. So I want you to attend service. I want you to be in a group. Number 3, we're all going to read a book, Goliath Must Fall by a guy named Louis Giglio. We'll start selling those really soon locally. You can pick them up online. It's a great book. I've already read it twice. Look forward to the 3rd time through it. And then the 4th thing I want you to do is I want to invite you to invite somebody to join you. Amazingly, the way you bless somebody may be a simple invitation. You say, David, I don't know if people are willing to come back to church right now. Great, invite them to join you online. You can do a watch party between with you and them. You can watch it and then discuss it at work or something like that. We have all sorts of opportunities. Maybe somebody will not come to a physical service. Hey, tell them, just jump in online. Maybe they'll join you in your group and jump in online as well. Invite somebody to join you and see the work that God might do in our lives. 4 things, 6 weeks. Attend, be in a group, read a book. I know some of you are nervous about the reading thing. It's okay. You can handle a book a year. That's all I ask you to do. 1 book a year. Invite somebody to join you at service. All right, both campuses, let's stand up right now. We don't normally do this at North Campus, but we're going to do it right here. I want you to know we're going to have prayer coming in. You can call in for prayer and such. I forgot about that. That's okay. Next thing, if you need prayer in any form or fashion, I need you to call. 325-704-5171. You can call in right now on your way out. If you're at physical service, you're online, we need prayer and such. If you're struggling with vertigo or dizziness, we want to pray with you for that. Picture of an iceberg. Someone's going through a breaking off that is necessary for a breakthrough. That's what it says. Psalm 112, someone is living in a place of fear of bad news. I've had some of that. I'll be honest with you. But the man who fears the Lord has no fear of bad news. Psalm 112, 7 says, I know it because I keep quoting it. Someone that has made a financial mistake and feel they can't recover, we want to pray in that. Someone with recurring stomach issues, afraid to go to the doctor. Someone has been saying yes, but you know there's something you're supposed to do, but you're stuck in hesitation. Someone making decisions about an elderly family member, but stressed in doing so. It just says here, new red pickup. I don't know if you want a new red pickup. I don't know if you got a new red pickup. I don't know what it is. New red pickup, if it means something to you, call in. A parent that just adopted a child or teenager but are having a difficult time connecting with the child. We want to pray into these things and any other things you need prayer for. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do, both campuses. I want you to take the posture with which we end every service. I want you to open your hands. That is the picture of the way we live life. We are blessed to bless. God opens his hands and he satisfies the desires of every creature. We want to be those who open our hands with what he gives to us. So I pray, oh God, that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face shine upon us and be gracious to us. Turn your countenance towards us and let us live with overflowing peace, that your ways may be known on the earth. Your salvation, not just among the peoples of the earth, but your salvation among the people in our immediate world. Bless us, O God, and we commit with open hand to use what you have given us to bless others. We ask, B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom, in the name of Jesus, the Messiah, Prince of Peace. Amen. God's strength and courage be with everyone. We'll see you guys back next week.